Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're so excited that you've joined us today as we continue in this powerful series, How the Church Meets Your Deepest Needs. Together, we're uncovering the joy and strength that comes from being a part of God's family. Okay, and now here's Rick with the final part of a message called You Need Others for Spiritual Support.
So first off, I need a church family. I need others to walk with me. Let me give you a second reason. I need others to work with me. Not just to walk with me, but to work with me. And did you know that God has a special work for you to do with your life? Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:10. God made us to do good works. Look at that. Well, you say, why am I alive? God made you to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Did you know that before you were born, God planned the good works he wants you to do with your life? You could miss them. You could miss your purpose in life. It's not automatic. Remember, life on earth is to practice for eternity, and one of the four things you're going to do in heaven is serve God. In heaven, everybody's going to share the work, so we'll never get tired. But on earth, what happens is we try to do it all ourselves, and the result is fatigue. Now, God tells us why we need to work together. Look at this verse, Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two people are better than one because they get more done, what? Read it with me, working together. Two people are better than one, they get more done by working together. So you need a church family to get the work that God has for your life done. God never meant for you to do it by yourself. You know, one time a few years ago, I was making a tour of the East Coast, and I spoke at West Point, the Army Academy. I spoke at the Navy Academy too. But at West Point, it's interesting, they have a system there. So impressed me. It feeds 4,000 people, get this, in 15 minutes. So how in the world do you do that? How do you feed 4,000 people in 15 minutes? Everybody has a role. And I noticed that when they were doing this at West Point, everybody had a role. In fact, it was a role with butter on it. Never mind. But God has called you to serve others. And it's in the context of a family, a church family. Sometimes we think that the greatest Christians are out there all by themselves. You know, there's this myth about Mother Teresa that she was out there serving on the streets of Calcutta all by herself. No, she wasn't there. Kay went and served with Mother Teresa a little bit years ago and came back telling me that Mother Teresa has an army of sisters helping. You need other people helping you fulfill the work that God has for your life. And I say it like this, by myself, I can't do a lot. You can't do a lot, but together we can. Snowflakes are frail. They're not by themselves. They're not very strong. But if enough of snowflakes stick together, they can stop traffic. And together we can make a difference with each person doing a little. So if you're sitting, listening to me today and you say, man, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. It's probably because you've got nobody helping you. You're missing one of the benefits of being in a small group and really totally connected to a church family. You could attend and not really be connected. I want you to write this down under this point. Community is God's answer to fatigue. Community is God's answer to fatigue. God didn't meant for you to do it on your own. Have you ever watched the Amish build a barn in a day? I once saw a TV show about it. The entire community shows up and they all help. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. So I need a church family to walk with me, and I need a church family to work with me so that I can do the work that God's called me to do. Number three, I need a church family. I need others to watch out for me, not just to walk with me, to work with me. I need them to watch out for me. In other words, I need people in my life who will warn me of traps, who will defend me, who will protect me, who will help me stay on track. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Philippians 2 verse 4 says this, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. That's a good thing. That's what a family is all about, what a church family is all about. You know, have you ever seen any of those neighborhood watch signs? It says, you know, there's a neighborhood watch in this area. That's a sign of community. Let me ask you this. Have you ever left on vacation And before you left, you asked a neighbor to watch your stuff while you were gone? Probably. So you've asked neighbors to watch your stuff. Here, let me ask you another question. Have you got anybody watching out for your soul? It's far more important. You may have a neighbor watching your stuff, but who's watching out for your soul? That's part of the family of God. We need other people watching out for us. Why? Because we all have blind spots. Some of us have bald spots, but but all of us have blind spots. And there's some things you just can't see. I mean, if I've got a bald spot back here in the back of my head, and I can't see that. There's some things that you need other people to tell you in your life. When you have a tail light out, you can't see it. You need other people. When you have lettuce in your teeth, you can't see it. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. Now, notice it says, keep being concerned. Keep means you be vigilant. And in a war, everybody takes turn on sentry duty. Somebody's got to be vigilant, watching out for the enemy. You know, since 9/11 happened here in the United States, we've had to be vigilant against terrorists and terror attacks. And I just went through a couple airports this week where I had to get scanned because they're being vigilant for the enemy. But did you know that you have an even greater enemy, far greater than the terrorist in the world? And that enemy wants to mess you up. He wants to destroy your life. He's plotting your downfall every morning before you ever wake up. He's thinking how to defeat you with temptations and trials and dead ends and detours. See, Satan fights with an arsenal of habits, hurts and hang-ups and problems. And much of the time we're defeated. Why? Because we're trying to fight him on our own. That's dumb. Well, you need other people helping you resist temptation. That's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. That's what so many of our programs are all about. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, when I read that verse, it makes me think about years ago, I walked across a prison yard in Northern California with 2,000 convicts, most of them there with life sentences, standing on that field, and I was invited there to speak to them on that prison yard. But you know what? I had no fear. Why? Why did I have no fear? Because 30 Christian inmates were walking with me on every side, in front, behind, on either side, watching every move. I wasn't afraid at all. Let me ask you a very personal question. Is anybody protecting your backside? Who's watching out for you spiritually? Nobody at work's doing that. Nobody at school's doing that. Nobody in the government neighborhood's doing that. You need a church family. You need a small group. You know, as a lifeguard, I was a lifeguard for 3 years. I used to tell people, never go swimming by yourself in the ocean. You need to have a buddy, a partner. We're better together. I want you to write this down. Community is God's answer to defeat. The church family, the family of God, is the answer to defeat. Ecclesiastes 4:10, if one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall, they're in real trouble. Let me give you a couple more. Number four, I need people to walk with me and to watch over me and to work with me. Number four, I need others to wait and weep with me. I need other people in my life to wait with me when I'm going through a tough time and to weep with me. And that's what a church family is all about, to help me through the inevitable crises of life. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let me just give you a list of some situations that nobody should ever have to face alone. In other words, nobody should ever have to face waiting in a hospital alone during a risky surgery. Nobody should ever have to wait alone for a lab report or a pregnancy problem. Nobody should have to wait alone for news from a battlefield, from a son or a daughter or father or mother. Nobody should have to wait alone for a coroner while they're identifying a body. Nobody should have to wait alone standing in front of a fresh grave or the first night after your husband or your wife dies, or the first night after your husband or wife walks out. And I could go on and on. The fact is, things like this will happen in your life eventually. And it's foolish not to have your support network, your support, your safety net in place now. Because at some point, you will have a life-shaking crisis. None of us knows what it is or how it's going to hit us, but the time to prepare is now. And what is God's safety net? It's a group of believers who are committed to you, and you are committed to them. Who's committed to you right now? Could you rattle off a name of people who'd be there in an instant? Let me ask you another way. Who could count on you that if they had a crisis in their life, you would be there in an instant for them? 1 Peter 3:8, the first part of the verse says this: you should be like one big family, full of sympathy toward each other. And I've told you many times about how my personal small group has helped me through very difficult times, and how we've traced all, you know, we've faced all kinds of trauma together. 1 Corinthians 12:26 is God's plan for a church family. And it says it like this: if one member suffers, all suffer together. One of our members get cancer, we all ought to care about that. Pray for him, support him. You know, I remember a while back reading a newspaper article about a guy who laid dead in his bed for 2 years in his home, and nobody noticed. Friends, that is tragic. Imagine the despair. No one should ever die alone. I want you to write this down. Community is God's answer to despair. It's God's answer to despair. Romans 12:15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. That means I need people who wait with me when I'm scared to death, and who will watch with me, and they'll pray for me, and they'll weep with me. You know, the truth is we often don't know how to handle tears. And sometimes you'll be in a small group and somebody starts crying and everybody feels a little awkward. Why are you feeling awkward? Let me give you a little tip. When you're in a small group and somebody tears up, tears are always a sign that it's time to stop and pray. And probably just go over and give them a hug or put a hand on their hand and squeeze their hand. You don't have to fix people's problems, but you do have to be there. You have to have the ministry of presence. Sometimes you just need to sit in silence with them and weep with them. The Bible says weep with those who weep. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, you know, you got to be flexible. It says this: encourage each other and strengthen one another. Well, let me ask you a very personal question. Who do you need to encourage today? Can you think of somebody who might need your encouragement right now? Finally, let me give you one more reason why you need the support of a Christian spiritual church family in order for spiritual health. I need him to walk with me. I need him to work with me. I need him to watch and wait with me. Okay, I need him to just be with me in all the things of life. But the number five, I need others to witness with me. Did you know that God says, I expect you to tell other people about what I've done for you? Did you know that God expects you to fulfill a mission in the world and share your life message, the story of your life, with others? Well, God doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. He says, I need other people to witness with me. And there's great power in group witness. It's very impressive. When people come to Saddleback Church, any of our campuses, and they walk in and they see people worshiping together, that's a witness. But you know what the greatest witness of your life is to unbelievers? Loving each other. Loving each other. The Bible says, see how they love one another. The Bible says that is the essence of our highest witness. What impresses a community the most is our love for each other. John 13:35, Jesus said it this way: your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If you don't love other members of a church, where are you proving to the world that you're his disciple? This is our goal. This is our goal for this entire series, that your love for each other will prove to the world that you're my disciples. That is our goal. The one thing that proves to the world that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not our buildings, it's not our bumper stickers, it's not our programs, it's our love for each other. And in this series, this 48 days together, I want you to start a revolution of love in your community, at your office, at your workplace, at school, in your neighborhood. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but he wants you to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. That is one of the reasons why God needs us to be in a family, so that other people can help us in sharing the good news. You know, I've often asked you, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? So I'm asking it again today. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? I want to help you. And I want to help you by saying you don't have to do this on your own. Let's reach your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your relatives. Let's reach the people in your circle, in your part of the world, together. I want you to write this down. God's answer to fear is community. See, you lose your fear when you realize God is near and other people with you. You're just not as much afraid. You know what? I want people to be able to say about this church, Saddleback, but I want God to be able to say it about other churches too. That what they, I want God to be able to say about us and other people say about us what was said about the church in Philippi, which was a little city in Greece. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says this about that congregation. He says, you are working together. That's the family of God. And you're struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. I want that to be said about Saddleback Church, that we're working together, struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. And here's the bottom line. So let me sum it all up for this weekend. We need each other. You need other believers in a church family and in a small group, and you need them to walk with you, especially through troubles and trials. You need them to work with you as you develop your gifts, your spiritual gifts, and your shape. You need them to watch out for you and the traps and the troubles all around. You need them to weep with you when you have losses, and you need them to witness with you as together we make a front to the world to say, we are not ashamed to say we love Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you to say something aloud in all 20 campuses. You think I can't hear you, but I can. Okay, I want you to say this aloud. So everybody say it. I. Okay, some of you did not say it. I see you on the fourth row, okay? I see you and I hear you. Say I. Okay, everybody. I. Okay, and then repeat this word. Really. Say it. Really. 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 Need a small group. Need a small group. You know what that is? You just made the declaration of interdependence. That's the declaration of interdependence. I really, 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 really need a small group. During this series, we're going to learn how to meet the deepest emotional and spiritual needs of each other, and we're also going to learn how to have our needs met at the same time. Now, let me pray for you as we close. Father, it is time for the church to really be the church. Not the kind of church that everybody's heard about. The boring kind, the kind that doesn't meet the needs, that doesn't fulfill the purposes of God. Father, it's time for the church to have a revolution of love and fellowship and community as we are members of the body of Christ together. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. Please begin this in our hearts today. With all my heart, Lord, I believe that our church and all of our campuses and many, many other churches will start fulfilling God's purposes together. That when we do that, we'll see a new revelation and a new revitalization and a new revival, not just in our church and in other churches, but a spiritual awakening in our nations and in the world. Now you pray. Would you pray? Say something like this. Dear God, forgive me for all the times that I felt I didn't need other people in my life or didn't even need your family, the church. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing on earth through your family. I want to experience real community and fellowship in my church. I'm tired of superficial relationships. I want to learn to love and be loved in a deeper way. I open up my life to you, Jesus. Thank you for bringing me to this church family. Thank you for a place to belong, a place to grow, a place to fellowship, to serve, to share, to worship. God, I don't want to be a passive follower or a passive attender anymore. I commit to getting into a small group so I can learn about real community. And please bless our church family as we learn and grow together in the next 48 days. In Jesus' name.
Hey, if you just prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, awesome. Congratulations. And we would love to hear from you and send you some free materials to help you know him better. So email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
One of the things that I've discovered is that everybody eventually asks the questions of significance. Why am I here? And what is my purpose? What on earth am I here for? So I've updated the Purpose-Driven Life because I wanted to help people like you understand how God created us for 5 eternal purposes. The Bible says that long before we heard of Christ, he had his eye on us, had his designs on us for glorious living, that it was part of his overall purpose that he's working out in everything and everyone. God has never made a person that he doesn't have a purpose for. You know, that simple message needs to be shared with a whole new generation. A young girl who was 12 years old when I wrote Purpose-Driven Life is now 22. And she needs to hear this essential message that God has a plan, has a purpose, and has a reason for everything that happens in our lives. What I did is after reading hundreds of thousands of comments that have come into me over the past decade, I've added 2 new chapters that'll help you handle the 2 most common problems and barriers to living a life of purpose. Now I want you to have this newly revised, expanded copy of Purpose-Driven Life. I think you'll find it's a fresh reminder of things that you may have forgotten when you first read it. Or you might want to give the book to somebody who has never read it and is struggling to find their purpose. So this month, I'm offering to you a hardback copy of the updated, expanded edition of Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.